prepare yourself. Big News Wednesday approaches. Welcome one and all to Big News Wednesday, or Big Presidential Campaign Launch Wednesday with me and JR Jackson. JR, how's it going?
What's going on, brother?
A lot going down. I think we're also going to some of these presidential launches on the show later as well. Will they mean anything? Who knows?
I have thoughts. I think some of them might and others definitely won't. But let's start off with Big Hair News Wednesday. JR, you got rid of the dreads after so many years. How are you feeling? Are you liberated? Are you regretful? What do you think?
You would think it takes me a long time to make decisions. Like when I'm in the grocery store and then eventually someone walks up and says, "You need some help, bro?" I was like, "No, I can't decide." So it's been in the works in my mind for some time. So once it finally happens, there's zero regret. I was done with it. It was 16 years. My last haircut was 2006. So I was like, you know, I think I'm pretty much detached. I'm done with these. I'd like to not have to worry about them every day.
Nice, I like it. And comments are flooding in and people are loving it. We'll have more of those. Although some people are saying stranger danger. But anyway, I'm the exact same way. When I have to make a choice, especially if it's like buying something, I do exhaustive and exhausting research. Mm-hmm. And then once I choose, oh, the weight is off the shoulders. I just love it. I have a few of those right now that I'm doing. So I respect that. And the hair looks good. So
I appreciate you. I just have to get out of the habit of when I put a shirt on doing this. And every time I lie down on my pillow, not doing this to move it out of the way so I can lie down. Because there's like an extra bump of like a pillow. No matter in the car, I have to adjust my seats because it's a little further back. All that.
That is a well-known phenomenon that therapists can help with. It's phantom dread syndrome. It affects millions. And we're gonna try to get you the help that you need.
Appreciate you.
But anyway, with that, with new haircuts, we move forward into a brave new world of the presidential campaign, where the Republican side is like swelling like rapidly. They've got like 8 candidates now. Some of them serious candidates, others Nikki Haley. There's different types of candidates, basically. We're gonna be breaking those down, but we have a lot more news besides just that. Ron DeSantis getting some bad political news on one of his big culture war topics. CNN shaking things up. Marjorie Greene acknowledges climate change. That's exciting. And that's all in the first hour. But when we get to the aftermath, we're going to be jumping into, we've talked a lot about how I would say a worrying number of young people seem interested in the, the grifty, like fake masculinity influencers or whatever. Yeah, but how many? We've got some actual polling data that I think is pretty interesting. And some of these results are honestly pretty surprising. Tucker Carlson's show is back, sort of, kind of. It's a show, everyone. We're gonna be talking about that. And then finally, news from around the world and meanwhile in. But this time I'm serious, mostly. I'm mostly serious, we're gonna do it. Anyway, along the way, you can send us comments, tweets, super chats and all that. And JR and I will respond as we go. But with all that said, JR, are you ready to start the show?
I think so. That's a pretty damn good rundown. Let's do it.
I think it's looking pretty good, actually. So why don't we start things off with this?
I thought to myself, why do I continue to get this feeling that America, for the first time in its history, is getting smaller? And what I concluded is because we've had leaders who have led us to being small. Small by their example. Small by the way they conduct themselves. Small by the things they tell us we should care about.
So that is Chris Christie, who is now officially running for the Republican nomination for the presidency. For how long? We'll have to see. The odds don't look good. I think that he would be willing to admit that. But you can see there that he is attacking not only Joe Biden, but also Donald Trump, calling him small. And it's gonna get even more aggressive than that. But the reason I wanted to play that video isn't just to lay out that this is going to be a pretty, that clip wasn't super aggressive, but I think it'll be an aggressive candidacy. But also that was basically how he launched it. He's doing these like town halls in New Hampshire. He was in Manchester, New Hampshire there. It's expected that it's probably going to be kind of like a small, narrowly tailored campaign, which is funny because he's talking about how politics has become small. Well, he's focusing on just New Hampshire, basically, which is a strategy, and you can save money that way. You can maximize your chance of standing out in one race. But before we move to more general stuff about his strategy and some of these hacks against him, JR, what do you think about this strategy of really focusing on New Hampshire?
Yeah, I was wondering that if it was like as obvious as it seemed, because he was talking about how he came there, and it's because of you guys. We'll get to maybe some of the things that he was saying, but no, it's a bit of a different approach. And this, you know, as we dig into what eventually will be his actual policies and stuff like that, we'll of course see the problems with Chris Christie. But no, when it comes to maybe having an innovative way of going about this, he's laser focused on Donald Trump, as we can probably see here, but also talking about the things that about him, not just, oh, you know, he's this and he's that, and name calling and defending themselves, because Donald Trump is always on the attack. This different approach, I think, even though, you know, he's saying I'm in it to win it, it's maybe to dismantle that front runner and make sure that they finally get rid of him, maybe on actual principle terms that maybe even crazed Republicans won't be willing to get behind, because we know a lot of them don't. But maybe his niche thing is doing that, because we see guys that run for president and they're looking just to maybe get the vice presidential nod. It seems like Christie's here to take out the cancer of the party, which sadly there's a lot more of it.
Yeah, it looks like that's what his plan is. I think we're gonna have to evaluate how likely we think that is, and we're gonna be evaluating his efforts to do that along the way. But that seems like what his plan is. And like, I'm trying to think, JR, of other Republicans. I'm not saying that he has a good chance of doing that. I don't think anyone on the right has a good chance of accomplishing that goal. But is there anyone that you think has a better chance
of taking out Trump specifically?
Like, if your goal was, I'm gonna run, I'm probably not gonna become president, but I am going to really hurt this guy and make it impossible for him to win.
You would have thought Ron DeSantis, because he just pulls that high, not because he can do it or he has that personality to do so, but because he has enough of a voice. How many people are gonna listen to Chris Christie, Vivek Ramaswamy, Nikki Haley, Mike Pence? But honestly, Mike Pence could play that role if he started saying things that anybody gave a damn about, outside of, I'm a boy from Indiana and I once met Ronald Reagan. Oh, you fine, we got it. And I kissed Donald Trump's ass for several years. True, bro. But you know, he could have that position, he just doesn't there. I don't see anyone else doing it, but because you have to have enough of a bullhorn, and hopefully Chris Christie does. At current point, he's polling what, like 1.5? But that's because he just jumped in.
So let me tell you something, everybody. The grift from this family is breathtaking. It's breathtaking. Jared Kushner and Ivanka Kushner walk out of the White House and months later get $2 billion from the Saudis. $2 billion from the Saudis. You think it's because he's some kind of investing genius? Or do you think it's because he was sitting next to the President of the United States for 4 years doing favors for the Saudis? That's your money. That's your money he stole and gave it to his family. You know what that makes us? A banana republic. That's what it makes us. So he may get 30% again. I'm not sure. Maybe he'll get more. Maybe he'll get less. But let me tell you what he'll know in 2024 that he had no idea of in 2016. He's in for a fight to get it.
Okay, so calling out, I think, very obvious corruption. The Kushners, Jared Kushner and Ivanka Kushner, he called her? I think she's technically still Trump, isn't she? It doesn't matter, I don't care, but I think she's still Trump. But anyway, they were close to Trump. It's expected that they still are, and that if he were to become president again, he would be. And Jared Kushner's investment, whatever, was given $2 billion by the Sovereign Wealth Fund of Saudi Arabia, even though the board governing it said that that was a bad idea. They were overridden by the government. This is like the most obvious attempt to influence somebody close to the potential next president of the United States that I've ever seen. So I'm glad that he's pointing that out. And I'm glad that he's saying we're gonna get, you know, we're gonna be aggressive and all that. Was that aggressive enough though? Is he gonna be able to bring it? Like, we know that he must think that this is a long shot bid. I don't think that he has huge aspirations for his career outside of this run. So in theory, that should free you up. to know that like I don't have to pull my punches and I don't have to worry about him attacking me because this isn't about me. This is about me landing blows. Like imagine if a boxer goes out and doesn't care if he gets punched. He is just going to hit that person as hard as he can. That's what Chris Christie could be. I don't know. This was more aggressive than the other stuff, JR. Will he be that person?
Yo, I like it, bro. I like it. And this, as he keeps going through these things, he's saying things that maybe a complete political on the other side of the aisle type of opponent might be saying. He described what Ivanka and Jared were up to as far as the amount of money that they took. No Republican talks like that. No Republican talks about the grift of the Republican Party and the people surrounding Donald Trump. It happened incessantly throughout his administration. People got on board so they can make money, get some kind of political power and position, if outside of the cash, of course, that comes with it. And it's the first time someone from that side of this kind of prominence would say, they stole your money. Yo, that's the kind of stuff that we hope even Democrats say that don't say it. Yeah. They stole your money. That equals banana republic. Everything that you said you thought they were doing over there in Saudi or with all these allies, that's actually not the case. They were doing it for the money. How much longer are you going to be that sucker to be part of this system? They don't say stuff like this. And this is one of those moments when you're going to see people like me start applaud Chris Christie for saying this and then have to wait in a couple weeks go, oh yeah, I forgot Chris Christie and his policies.
Yeah, the only way I like everything that you said. The only modification I would probably make is generally people do not like when you point out that they've been suckered. That's the tough part. I would say, you know, there's no shame in the fact that they conned you. They've got some of the richest, best connected media people helping them in their con. Maybe I would finesse it that way, but I do totally agree with you. We're gonna see. You know, let me say this to close before we go to the attacks against Chris Christie. Obviously, you know, Chris Christie, it's maybe easy to forget when he spends so much time attacking Donald Trump that he's also a Republican. By the way, one who is willing to use his office to accomplish his own corrupt, selfish ends. Bridgegate, everyone check that out. And he's definitely a Republican. But let me ask you this. Of the declared candidates, which it seems like they're the ones who are probably gonna run. Maybe there'll be some other minor ones. If you had to choose from amongst them, not the person who's gonna go up against Biden, but let's say the person who becomes the president, who would you choose on the Republican side?
If I had to, anybody that's in currently, right? In the
that's race running. Now. That's running.
Because of course some of them more will be added. See, this is the thing. I need to analyze positions, policy positions. But whatever. I'll take the bait. I'll make me go on record and make me look like an ass later. At this point, Chris Christie.
I think I would choose Chris Christie too.
Right?
If I had to choose from amongst them.
If nothing else, he's saying things that even could look damaging because he's like, I'm gonna be honest. Who knows if that will stick around? Maybe we'll get to those points when he said, I'll be honest, when asked about the pardon, potential pardoning of Donald Trump if he's convicted of something.
Yeah.
That looked bad and he's willing to do that. So there's some inkling of, yo, he's at least willing to be honest, even when it's bad for him.
Yeah, and he's gonna do, you know, if he were to be, you know, elected, he would do tax cuts for the rich and deregulation, all that. But all of them are going to. It's just with some of the others, they'll be more hostile to democracy and constantly pushing culture war topics that Chris Christie has rarely seemed to be particularly interested in.
And ignoring reality, like when it's right in your face, acting like what you're seeing is not what you're seeing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, so we've been clear. What about all of you in the audience? What do you think? Huh? You have a better choice? I doubt it, but maybe they do. Okay, with that said, let's turn now to the reaction. Chris Christie is running for president. How do you think they're going to attack him? Based on what you know about the Republicans, conservatism, America, 2023, how do you think they're going to attack him? Well, Donald Trump decided to do a 1-2 little punch first in a bleat. Saying, how many times did Chris Christie use the word small? Does he have a psychological problem with size? Actually, his speech was small and not very good. It rambled all over the place and nobody had a clue of what he was talking about. Good grammar there. Hard to watch, boring, but that's what you get from a failed governor who left office with a 7% approval rating and then got run out of New Hampshire. This time it won't be any different. So that would count for me as subtle for Trump to continually use the word size. He did not linger in the territory of subtle for long. I'm not gonna show you the video, but here's a shot of another one of his bleats where some right-wing troll has edited his town hall thing, Chris Christie's, into a buffet. You get it? You get the sharp political satire there. Well, what they're doing right there is they're referencing his weight. That's it. There's nothing deeper than that. Donald Trump is making it about his weight. His son was even worse with his Krispy Kreme thing that he bleated out or whatever. So if you thought that after Chris Christie saying that they're small and they make us small, that maybe he would take the high road, yeah, not so much, JR.
Yeah, of course. I remember when I first saw it and I was like, oh man. Because I didn't see this happening right away when he first announced. I was like, I'm waiting for Trump with the fat jokes. And I didn't see them right off the bat. I was like, oh man, it's taking them a little while. Maybe it, and I literally saw it once I was about to congratulate them for holding off for one day and they couldn't. Again, so if you think about it, what's the purpose? What does that mean? So Chris Christie, according to Donald Trump, according to Pry, who knows what his doctors say, is obese, is overweight. What does that have to do with this? What does that have to do with the fact that your family stole money? What does that have to do with the fact that you made all these promises that Chris Christie talked about in your time in office? What about the devastation you did with the economy, deficit, debt, all these things that he's talking about? Does that, so if Chris Christie was much lighter, none of that would mean anything here? Yeah. Like it's easy to bring this up. I hope he confronts it head on and points out, yo, I'm giving facts. They're talking about body size.
Yeah.
Clownishness. Keep calling them out.
Yeah. It's not surprising. It's also like, I don't know why I still, it's 2023 and I expect some level of logic or reasonableness.
John.
You should not be attacking people based on their weight because their weight doesn't actually have any reflection on how they'd be as president, their moral value, their intelligence, anything like that. And people need to remember that. Because some people who normally would not attack people for their weight, when someone's really bad, they will. They feel freed up to do that. That's not actually how anything works. But in particular, like, don't attack anyone on their weight. Donald Trump is under the medical definition, he would be morbidly obese, right? I'm not criticizing him for that. I'm simply pointing out that if you were to run the numbers, he would qualify. So why is he attacking Chris Christie on his weight? Like, there's not even like a, well, I'm a 4-year-old like jerk and I really want to attack you in a dirty way, but glass houses, there's not even that. So how about this? Mm-hmm. Nobody attacked Trump for his weight and nobody attacked Chris Christie for his weight. Attack them because they're both horrible. How about that? Can we do that instead? Anyway,
it is positivity for me. What's wrong with you?
I know, I'm an idiot basically. Attack me for being an idiot, not for my weight. Now with that, Trump and Don Jr. were not the only people attacking Chris Christie for his weight. Why don't we jump right into this?
Hey, before we go on, I just want to take a moment to address something because I really do feel terrible about it. Earlier on the show, I was making an analogy to describe the Republican voter pool. And I made a comment that I meant to be lighthearted, but immediately realized was hurtful toward Governor Chris Christie. I should not have said what I said. I deeply regret it. And I sincerely apologize to the governor.
So it's John Roberts of Fox News apologizing for comments he made about Chris Christie. Now, someone on the news, especially Fox News, being willing to admit when they've done something wrong, when they've said something offensive, I think is noteworthy, probably admirable. That said, why don't we play what he said and we'll evaluate it based on that?
To use a modification of a metaphor that we were using in the panel earlier today, it's like you have two milkshakes, right? The Republican Party is two milkshakes. And this one, representing almost half the party, because that's what the polling shows, has got one straw in it, and that's Donald Trump's straw, right? And the other milkshake, which represents the non-Donald Trump part of the Republican Party, has how many straws in it now? And now we're going to have Chris Christie's straw right there. And judging by Chris Christie's physical stature, he could drink a lot of that milkshake if he wanted to, but ow.
Okay, so the guy in the middle like looked away. He didn't want to be involved. And then I apologize. I'm not even trying the name of the woman in the blue dress, but she registered her disapproval vocally. So I like that. So he did apologize, JR, but the way that he apologized, he said, as soon as I said it, I realized that I shouldn't have. Which to me is the sort of thing you say when you like kind of accidentally insult someone. There was nothing accidental about it. It was a specific comment about his weight. That said, he did apologize. So how much credit do you think is
kind of well thought out too? Like it was, you know, this premeditated crime.
The milkshake thing.
This was a premeditated joke or analogy. It was supposed to be humorous in a way, you know, and he was kind of paused and expected laughter. So yeah, I mean, maybe it was a thought process, but there can be those moments that I think he regretted because he saw the response from maybe his co-host and was like, oh, this isn't landing. Now I regret it. And if it was in an environment that was okay and open to this, he'd move on more. That's what this whole mob mentality is. That's why the Republican Party has gotten to this point anyway. Donald Trump saw some openings, exploited them, and said, I can run off of racism, bigotry, homophobia, and all this stuff. It's really easy. And he exploited it and went hardcore into it and then exploded. And more people were like, oh yeah, we can do that more now. When the environment doesn't allow it, in that case with Roberts here, I believe that's his name. Then he was like, I don't feel good about this anymore. That's how you temper these types of things from growing to those points. Because the rest of people listening have to be principled enough to say, yo, we're not accepting fat jokes on this topic right now.
I hear what you're saying. On the other hand, I will retort by saying Fox has gone woke. you hate to see it. They got to be Bud Lighted. Anyway, Chris Christie is not the only person sort of making it official today. Why don't we jump right into this?
Wages are dropping. Recession is looming. Our southern border is under siege, and the enemies of freedom are on the march around the world. And worse still, timeless American values are under assault as never before. We're better than this. We can turn this country around, but different times call for different leadership. Today, our party and our country need a leader that'll appeal, as Lincoln said, to the better angels of our nature. That's why today, before God and my family, I'm announcing I'm running for president of the United States.
Mike Pence is, as we sort of expected, I guess, running for president. So that is happening. And he struck vocally, at least, a mostly positive tone in there. There were multiple references to Ronald Reagan, which, by the way, Ronald Reagan was president like 40 years ago. At what point is that not really a reference that hits? Anyway, he said things like, we're better than this. We need to appeal to the better angels of our nature. Admittedly, he had just gotten done putting up shots of, oh no, trans swimmers and stuff like that. So he's demonizing based around the exact same culture war topics as Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis, all of that stuff, trying to turn people's piranha-like rage at marginalized communities into political benefits for him. But he also talks about angels while he does it. So I guess he's the good one, JR.
No, exactly. That's the whole thing. Mike Pence is the illustration or the embodiment of the former Republican Party, which of course was horrific already, but they hid enough of it and they thought they could keep it under wraps, which they did for a good enough time. I guess the explosion of Donald Trump, maybe more people access to information on the internet, is a bit killing that. But there's a section of the Republican Party, which I think can be led by Mike Pence, that still thinks they can go back to that same thing where they say these horrible and insinuate these horrible things while they say it with a buttoned up look and hope that no one notices how horrific they are. And he's gonna dive right back into that again. So he'll give the culture war thing. So he's like, this is where we are as a party. I'll use it for my own sake. But at the same time, I can't say it out loud. That's Donald Trump territory. Let me insinuate that I'm not like that while still being like that. Yo, it's not gonna work. What that transitions into or translates into for folks, I think, is I had no idea what you're talking about. By the way, when he was even announcing, this is, I don't know, he has a look on his face like he's asleep. Like, and that's why I'm gonna do it this time. I was like, bro, wake up. Like, yeah, there's gotta be a level of excitement and presentation. They're right there. Like, who really wants to follow that guy?
I know. I don't know. He doesn't seem excited by his presidency and he's like shaking his head sometimes, but that's not the same thing as being exciting. And I will stand by what I have said previously about not focusing on people's physical appearance. But I will say, I think that in the presentation of things, contrast is important. And visually, his hair to me reads as the exact same color as his skin. And that just seems weird. I don't know. I'm white. I can say that, right? It's the same color. They should be different in one way or another.
Did you notice?
Just, it fits perfectly with how otherwise boring his pitch is. It's like if ChatGPT was supposed to make a launch video, It's got a video of an eagle, and there's a person with a hammer, and the music swells, and then he's standing there like that. It's like, oh, it's so boring.
Standard, bro. So yeah. Standard. By the way, even you mentioned Ronald Reagan, and they got stopped talking about Ronald Reagan from 45 years ago. Yo, the same thing though is when they show that image of Pence in there with him, Pence's hair was black, like dark. That's how long ago it was. And Mike Pence's white hair now, it shows maybe it's been that much time that we shouldn't be talking about him anymore. And it's for a person who then has all this damn white hair sprouting up on me. I think I have a leg to stand on there.
100%. By the way, so on the one hand, Mike Pence is running for president against Trump. On the other hand, even though Donald Trump did his damnedest to get him killed, Mike Pence has largely not even criticized Donald Trump. So, you know, you win some, you lose some on the loyalty sweepstakes. How is that gonna be read by the MAGA base? Not well for Mike Pence, because that video that we just showed you was posted on Twitter, and the replies to that were scorching. There's no way in hell you'll win anything. Traitor! You Pence are a pure. You're a traitor because the mob that tried to overthrow an election didn't succeed in killing you. You had a chance to do that, but decided to undermine your boss and protect the deep state for 4 years. And Pence equals Judas, which for Mike Pence is a particularly low blow, because I have a feeling he's super into that Bible stuff.
This is amazing. I'm sorry, last thought, I promise we'll let you guys go. Progressives gave Mike Pence hell for that entire time he was vice president for copying Donald Trump, fawning at Donald Trump, moving his water bottle around the room like Donald Trump, looking at him like this. And then somehow these supporters of Donald Trump can walk around and say, after 4 years of you being a traitor and undermining him at every turn, are you effing kidding me?
Yep.
Reality does not exist.
No, so unfair. You know, it's unfair. Anyway, with that said, we're gonna turn to other news in just a bit, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. That one of the names that I liked that I was overruled by my wife was, I like the name Jinx. I think it's cool. It's like a rebel's name, you know?
Unless she like
being short.
Comes an athlete and then misses the free throw at the end of the game or something.
That's true.
Then
anyway,
it sticks.
That's true. But what if you're continually beating the Jinx? What as the Jinx? I don't know. I think it's good. I could see it as a wrestler. Anyway, basically just hoping my child ends up being a wrestler. Okay. With that said, Jinx is a cat's name. People are saying, why can't it be a human name too? Okay. Let's turn now to far more serious stuff, everyone. Ron DeSantis has been dealt at least a temporary loss on one of his big culture war topics, with a federal judge partially striking down Florida's ban on gender affirming healthcare for transgender minors. What he says to support that decision, though, I find even more interesting, and I hope it really needles Ron DeSantis right now. So this is a US District Court Judge Robert Hinkle granted a preliminary injunction that blocks enforcement of a law signed by Ron DeSantis and rules that prevent a group of trans youth who sued the state from accessing widely accepted care, including puberty blockers and hormone therapy, as their legal challenge plays out. Now, the thing to bear in mind here is that this is limited to them. They will be able to access this care. Unfortunately, it does not free it up for everyone in the state. So the fight continues, but we do have more information. So this follows a lawsuit against the state's Surgeon General from a group of families, the ones that we've been talking about, who argued that the state could not, quote, demonstrate any rational basis, much less an important or compelling one, for the transgender medical bans which prevent transgender adolescents from getting safe and effective medically necessary healthcare. They are 100% objectively right in that. There is no objective medical or societal reason to go against what the like mainstream medical organizations have been saying for years and years and years. There just isn't. There is an ideological reason to do that. There is a personal political ambition reason to do that, but nothing that has anything to do with an interest in the kids, the families, or society. I want to read what Judge Robert Hinkle said, though. The elephant in the room should be noted at the outset. gender identity is real. The record makes this clear. The medical defendants, speaking through their attorneys, have admitted it. Any proponent of the challenge statute and rules should put up or shut up. Do you acknowledge that there are individuals with actual gender identities opposite their natal sex, or do you not? Dog whistles ought not be tolerated. So this is just a step along the path, I would assume. We're gonna have appeals, obviously, and even if there weren't, this doesn't free up all of the families in Florida to once again get the sort of care that has been fairly routine for years and years at this point. So I don't know where this goes, but JR, what do you think?
Yeah, listen, so when a judge like this says something is supposed to be based in medical and scientific evidence, and he's saying it's obvious that there's something real here when it comes to folks experiencing it, your basis for it can't be, I think it's weird. You know, a sweeping, broad legislation like this that would keep folks from being who they are and doing what they want. That basis is like your opinion, man, and that's not how democracies work, because you don't like something. There's plenty of things I don't like. Take all them damn Priuses off the road. I think they're ugly. Who cares what I think? Who cares that Priuses drive 55 miles an hour in a slow lane? Only me. So why should I be the one that's delegating whether or not you can buy a Prius or not? You know, there's these little things. Just because you have a personal issue with something, then everyone else has to follow then behind it. Now, if Priuses are a danger to society and they're breaking and they're blowing up on the roads and harming people, there's actually evidence scientifically and something we've seen behind it. If that's not there, that's just you. Deal with it, bro. Now, what we've gotten by is because we want to downplay science, we want to downplay evidence and downplay smart people, so that when these things come up, it can be based in people's opinions and in the back and forth fight between one political party and another, and whether or not your team is winning or not winning. Nothing with reality. And again, these folks don't think about trans youth, don't think about trans adults, don't think about the family surrounding them until they need them to use them for political purposes like this, which tells you they don't give a damn either. So of course, the science isn't something they're looking into, because they actually don't care about the issue. They care about using the issue for themselves. And maybe I'm surprised to see a judge say something like this. I don't know if it's going to catch on, but it should be highlighted that this is the difference. Science and medical reality versus someone just not liking and going, ew.
Yeah. Yeah, this is just a combination political ideology and religious mishmash of bigotries masquerading as a medical opinion. That's all it is. That's all it is. And I understand there might be some people that either like are, I don't know, still hostile towards trans people or the idea of being trans or ignorant of it or don't care about it, that might not feel that this is a fight that they need to engage in. First of all, I would say free your GD mind, Jesus, these are people. But also, are you comfortable with a status quo of religious conservatives just getting to decide which medical treatments are immoral? I mean, they've already done it obviously with abortion, now they're doing it here. What other medical interventions or medicines that might affect you and the people you know, might they suddenly decide, well, you know, if we talk about this a lot and we ban it, then maybe we can win Congress back? It's clearly expanding. And also, I would say to close this out, JR, have you seen the new remodel of the Prius? I don't think it looks nearly as bad.
I saw the new remodel of the Prius, and I told my kid this because I've indoctrinated him into hating Prius as well. I said, you see that new Prius, kid? Actually, it looks pretty good.
Oh, see, he's open-minded. I mean, I'm not getting one or whatever. Yeah, it doesn't look bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, and look, if that gets more people to drive a hybrid, great. Anyway, with that said, why don't we move on to very different news, starting with this.
We have news now to report involving our own network. News to us here at CNN and you at home. CNN's chairman and CEO, Chris Licht, is leaving the network.
Chris Licht is out just a few weeks after the major brouhaha in the media over the Donald Trump town hall. Now, was it that caused this? We can't say for sure. All I can say is, yeah, probably. I can say, no, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't have any insider sources inside of CNN, but I don't know. It seems pretty suspect. Now, it's not to say that there weren't already issues. You could say that it's less that one caused the other than that both were caused by the fact that there were some systemic problems at CNN. And that specifically the Donald Trump town hall trying to get Republicans to love CNN when they've been told for years and years that it's the deep state and it's run by lizard people, which seems like a bad strategy, by kowtowing to Donald Trump. is a bad strategy because you're not going to get the Republicans and you're just going to PO a bunch of the libs that like your content, your anti-Trump content. That seems like a bad call. You combine that with the fact that he apparently in some of these decisions had really shaken morale at CNN. There was a bit of an insurrection going on inside of there. It didn't seem good for him, and now he is going to be transitioning out. Jared, what do you think?
It seems pretty quick, you know. Everyone was getting their licks in on him. Then he had to go home and lick his wounds. But still, if you want to be serious about the whole thing, which I promise I will be now, I actually didn't realize how quick this really was. I was like, has it been just about a year? This has gone down in this much of a quick turnaround. I think can illustrate when you're looking to do something now different or try something different. I think he really thought it would work. I'm not sure how much his political leanings are with this stuff, but he really dove into the idea that, yo, let's just go for all this bottom feeder stuff. We'll invite in all the craziness because, yo, more eyes, more viewership, more money. But yo, you're working for with a network that people, I think, had an idea that it's still this middle ground network. It still had the Fox is the right, MSNBC is the left, and CNN is in the middle. They still held that for a large, I think, a large majority of Americans. All this political walk to talk about it, including us, we know the nuances and differences because we sit here and we're crazy. But CNN, then it was a pretty obvious shift to try and be something different, and it felt a little artificial. So even folks that maybe they thought they would be attracting, they were like, oh, look what he's trying to get us coming because we're these right wingers. And the lefties and libs and mid ground folks were thinking this feels artificial. Why is he trying to add something that honestly we don't really care about? We see and hear that stuff in other networks. It just kind of annoyed everyone to a degree, and probably worse off much of the staff. That's when the stuff was turning around on him.
Yeah. There had been, I mean, we talked about the big Atlantic profile about him. There were seemingly a lot of issues, not just about the town hall, but about some of the choices that were made for who was going to be on panels, the content of Chirons, a lot of stuff. There was such specific criticisms that they were saying that he had apparently over the last, I don't know, year or whatever, he lost a lot of weight. And apparently had been using, there was that new super rich person weight loss drug or whatever that famous people use. But then he kept claiming that it was just a result of exercise. So that was angering people, that he was like pretending that it was super easy when he was using the super expensive drug. I don't know. None of that matters, but it's representative of this is a person that a lot of people there have a problem with. And you might be able to get away with being that person if your strategy works, if it brings in viewers, but outside of a raise for the actual town hall, it doesn't seem like it's doing that. And so that becomes a dangerous situation for you. We do not know who is going to be the long-term replacement for Chris Licht. As of right now, the new interim CEO is going to be Amy Antelis, the current executive vice president for talent and content development, that according to write-ups I've seen today say she has a really good reputation, has backed a lot of their movies and documentary series that have done well. I don't know. That could just be PR as they launch her into the position. Maybe she'll be much better. Maybe. It's always possible. I mean, David Zaslav, chose the last guy's choosing this person. So there's still some of that top down control. I wouldn't expect that we're going to see a massive shift in CNN strategy, but maybe at the very least attempts to court MAGA voters, which are probably a waste of time in the first place, they might be turning from that. Okay, with that said, we're going to take our second break of the hour. When we come back, we had talked earlier this year about a Democrat swapping parties in North Carolina. There's a new bill designed to stop that from happening. We're going to break it down after this. Okay, seeing lots more name guesses in the chat. No, you're all wrong. I am not naming my child Lasagna. It's a delicious name, don't get me wrong, but no. Okay, with that said, let's jump into some news. Every once in a while, a politician changes parties. They had previously identified as a Democrat or Republican, then they decide something happened that forces them to switch over. And sometimes that is an incredibly consequential thing. We had talked earlier this year in North Carolina about a Democrat swapping over that not only changed the results for the legislature, giving the Republicans a supermajority, but that allowed them to override the veto of the Democratic governor on an anti-abortion bill. And now some in North Carolina don't want to have to deal with that in the future. So they've got this bill, Senate Bill 748, would require candidates who do a party switcheroo, they say, early in their terms to be removed from office and refund their donors. It's called the Voter Fraud Prevention Act. And basically what it would do is it would require that when a member of the General Assembly switches parties with more than 6 months left on his or her term, that the seat is considered to have been vacated, triggering a special election within 90 days. That official also would have to refund campaign contributions to any donor who requests them. So they would both lose their position, like they can do their, you know, their, let's say that it's a principle that's causing them to swap parties, as if that would ever be the case. But let's say it is, then they can switch. But they don't necessarily get to keep the same seat that they ran for based on a false idea of which party they would be representing. And all of the money that they could raise, which could be a significant sum from their constituents who probably at that point feel like they were defrauded, would be able to get it back. I've never heard of this sort of thing before, JR. What do you make of this?
It seems like something that maybe has some good elements for the possibility of maybe deterring people from doing this for political purposes outside of principles, as you said. But it's hard whenever it comes to these hardline things, like with 6 months left. So if somebody's planning this, they'll wait until there's under 6 months left. You know, there's always ways around things when you have a hard deadline before someone can do something. So they'll plan with it in some kind of way there. Because again, it's about power, money, positions, political, you know, expediency and all this stuff. So they'll find a way. So that's the one problem I maybe have with it. I get the idea of wanting to do this, because look, it completely flips everything that what constituents thought they were getting. It's why when someone wins an election, you know, we heard people, even though they have like, you know, a couple seat majority, they'd be like mandate, because they talk about all things that they can do now. And they think that can influence constituents to believe that, yo, this is what the majority of people wanted. Now, when it flips simply because one or two or how many people wanted to do that once they're in office, this completely changes democracy on its head for what is it that people want. But I also don't want to take away people's possibility of then, of course, based off of principle and just who they are, switching parties because their party got away from them. It could happen with Republicans. It's just that they're too afraid to. There's plenty of Republicans that hate where the party's gone, but they don't say it. And one thing they're definitely not going to do is switch parties, because then they find themselves kind of in no man's land. A lot of times, if people are starting to feel disenfranchised from their party, they may shift more middle, but doesn't mean they're going to go so far as to complete who they've completely disagreed with. You know, if the Democratic Party and I'm an elected official has been doing things completely different than I wanted, I can never find myself then going, you know, everything that those Republicans have been saying suddenly makes sense to me, because they don't. They just wouldn't. It never would happen that way. So it's hard to really find yourself switching with it being based on principle anyway, because that means every principle that you had wasn't in existence anymore. I don't know, man. It seems like a non-answer for me, but it just seems like it's hard to really pin this down.
Yeah, it's tough like on principle, but then also tough in implementation. So like if you could make it so that this works, should you have that? I don't know. Automatically being like, there could be situations in which the actual principled thing to do would be to swap. But then also when you talk about the implementation, so this is basically a reaction to Representative Tricia Cotham, who swapped over, and even though she had been a Democrat for years and years, ran for multiple positions in government as a Democrat, said that she was for reproductive rights, swaps over not only to vote to take away those rights, but to override a Democratic governor's veto. That's insane. That is obviously a betrayal of her voters and of her donors. I don't think that any reasonable person can say anything else. They were not ambiguous about what their positions were. This was not a like steady, slow change over time. You just ran as a Democrat and got all these donations. It's an obvious betrayal. It's an intentional betrayal. For what remains to be seen? That's an interesting question. I would love to know. But if switching parties gets you immediately kicked out, then they won't switch parties. They'll just vote for the other side, even though they're still like, it doesn't actually, I don't think, in practice work. What I think makes more sense is you need to have some sort of way, not that they would automatically get kicked out, but that perhaps it would trigger, you know, like a potential recall vote. Like you 30 days later or 60 days later, you have a vote to recall them. The issue with that is then if it was triggered by them switching parties, then again, they just wouldn't switch parties.
Exactly.
And if you just always had the capacity to trigger recalls, I think that there should be a system for recalls. I think that Kyrsten Sinema is a great example of why that would be a good thing. But then we also know that that sort of thing can and is gamed. In California here, it's gamed constantly to do pointless recalls that aren't actually supported by the people. So it is a difficult thing to fix, but I definitely need to, I think it's something that we need to continue to think about, because this is not super rare that this happens. Like, we've seen this before. Kyrsten Sinema is a great example of it. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, it's hard, because I was thinking even just, you know, you have to complete your term and then switch parties and run again. But then that's still tough too, because as you said, they'll just sit back and stay within the party and sabotage.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I will say though, while I don't have the solution, I can say that I utterly despise many of these instances of this. In some cases, I also hate when people run, lose, and then decide, you know, I'm just gonna run as an independent, even though I've been rejected. I'm just gonna try to ruin it for the party that rejected me. I hate that too. I come from Connecticut. Totally. I experienced that with Lieberman.
Right here, it says that you say the reason why people are coming to America today is because of violence, food insecurity, severe poverty, corruption, climate change, and the COVID-19 pandemic. Did you know that there are over 500,000 homeless people in the United States today? And as a matter of fact, the homeless population rose significantly since 29. That's for Americans. So we have homelessness here in America.
So that is Marjorie Greene acknowledging the real struggles facing America, that there is a lot of homelessness, that it has risen precipitously over the past few years, that we are affected by many natural disasters. The issue is that she is not mentioning those things because she thinks they're serious problems that need to be fixed. She's only mentioning them as some sort of rhetorical joke to stop migrants from coming. Because when people say that migrants come because there are difficulties in the countries that they're coming from, so they come here looking for a better life, she, with the brain of a nematode, thinks, well, if I pretend to think that our country sucks, I guess they won't come. I don't think that's gonna work, Marge. But she goes on to talk more about natural disasters.
Natural disasters, talk about climate change. This is the fourth largest country in the world. We have an extremely diverse climate. We have a wide range of natural disasters. 97 natural disasters occurred in 2021. I don't think this is very safe for migrants here in America. We had 97. How many are they having in their country? These natural disasters include wildfires, heat waves, droughts, flash floods, winter storms, cold waves, tropical cyclones, and on and on and on, but yet they need to come to our country because of climate change? That doesn't make a lot of sense. It's not a safe country either, by the way. In America, there were 1,313,000 violent crimes in the US, and that was in 2020. I can't imagine what the numbers are since then, since crime has come up.
It is such a stupid person waste of our time. She thinks, well, I've seen people like Katie Porter and AOC, and they make points that are smart, and people say that they're cool, and they have statistics, so I guess I'll try to do that. The issue is, again, nematode brain. She doesn't know what she's saying. First of all, the fact that she's talking about a massive rise in unhoused population that occurred during the 4 years of the Trump administration is an obvious slight against the Trump administration, but she's not even thinking about that because she thinks it's gonna stop migrants from coming here. It is, the whole point of it is a maxed out condescension towards migrants. Obviously, this isn't going to work, but she likes performatively doing it. Because the idea is, if this were to work, if her is saying, well, we have wildfires, so the fact that your countries might be racked worse by climate change means that it would be dumb to come here. For that to work, you would have to believe that migrants are even dumber than Marjorie Greene. They're not, but she likes pretending that they are. So it's a fun little game for her to get to do this, condescending to desperate people who just want to contribute to America while enriching their own lives. And along the way, briefly acknowledging some of the actual struggles facing our country that tomorrow she will go right back to refusing to admit exist. What do you think, JR?
100%. This is the way that they should approach us. Whenever someone like Marjorie Greene comes up and says these things about what our issues are with the country, from homelessness to the natural disasters, wildfires, climate change, and all this, even if she's saying it tongue in cheek so she can try and deter people or try and make people think that she has an actual point, bring that back up every time she wants to downplay homelessness or talk about how you're doing nothing towards other things. Yo, Marge, there's this lady named Marjorie Taylor Greene who was complaining about this before. Do you want to answer for her? Since she's being all sarcastic now, let her go ahead and answer back for that, because these are real issues that she's then using for her own idiotic points, which actually end up being nothing except for hate. Just illustrate it to her. Let them keep talking themselves in circles. We'll make them answer for it later.
100%. Unfortunately, out of time for the first hour. Thank you, everyone on the podcast, watching on the linear platforms. We got more to come in the aftermath. Don't go anywhere.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.